Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror. Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim, along with Donnie Hoover, and we're kind of like stuck where we are. Obviously, it's a state of things nowadays. Donnie, how has life been for you during this weirdness?
Like everybody else, it's day by day. The kids are obviously out of school. They've been out of school for a week or so now. Excuse me. And we're from Ohio, as everybody probably already knows, and they just declared the stay-at-home rule today. So it looks like all the way up until April 6th, I believe it was. So it looks like they're going to be out of school until then, at least. And as for me, I was sent home this past Wednesday was my last day. And then so right now I'm still on call to where I can be called in as needed because I am a city employee. But for what my job entails now, I'm not really needed at the facility at the time. So I'm kind of like doing a work from home, but on an on-call needed basis. We asked them when we were looking to be returned back to work, and they said it could be the 2 weeks, or it could be June, July, August. They don't really know. So we're just taking it day by day, and so I'm kind of at home. I'm already getting stir crazy, and I done made a trip Saturday down to Portsmouth to take Dirk his ring canvas back and stuff. So I was getting antsy, and I had to get out of the house. So we did a little quick road trip, and the roads were pretty clear, which was awesome. So no traffic, just down and back. And we got our food supply up. You know, I suggest everybody at least get a 2 week supply just to be safe. You know, don't get crazy with it and get 20 cases of toilet paper and all that dumbness. But just get you some supplies just in case. So we got stocked up, and so we're just kind of waiting it out like everybody else, just, you know, seeing what happens. Unfortunately, Terry works for Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center. So she still has to go in, but she's not in the nursing or doctor section. She's in the surgical unit, right, but she's an HR part of it. So they're trying to get them sent home too. So now that they've declared the stay-at-home law and rule here in Ohio, hopefully she'll be able to come home this week too. Because I'm uncomfortable, and she's uncomfortable being there. I mean, she will be as long as they need her to be to help wherever needs help. I mean, that's what she's in the medical field for. But, I mean, it'd be safer on everybody if, like, everybody could go home. We just know that's not the case. But, you know, so if she is able to work from home and they can bring her home, I'd ease my mind a little bit.
I get you. I mean, I'm up in the air since they declared this stay-at-home thing. It goes into effect Monday night at midnight. I'm going into the office tomorrow. I don't know how things are going to play out with my work. And realistically, I could work from home. But, you know, we'll see what happens tomorrow. I would prefer to work from home.
Right.
As opposed to wasting what I have left on my vacation time. You know, we'll see what happens. I know my wife, Chris. Let me preface this by saying last week I had a bout of bronchitis. And, yes, it was just bronchitis.
Right.
I went to the doctor. And, well, unfortunately, Chris got it this week. And it's bronchitis. Mm. And a couple of coughs later, and her boss sent her home, says, nope, not for 2 weeks.
Right. That's a smart thing to do. I mean, even bronchitis will put you down, you know?
Well, you know, bronchitis, though, I mean, unfortunately, Chris is an independent contractor.
Yeah.
So she's not making any money right now.
Right. Yeah, that's the tough thing about it. There's a lot of people out there that's getting hurt by this.
Exactly. And, you know, what kind of relief are we going to get? What kind of relief are these people going to get? I mean, these restaurant workers, these bar workers,
uh-huh.
where's their mortgage coming from? Where's their rent coming from? Where's the utilities coming from?
Right.
I understand the state of the nation and what's going on, but, and I hate to get political. I really do, because I'm not the type that gets into political arguments.
Right, yeah.
But what's the government going to do about this? I mean, we can't live on nothing.
Yeah. You know,
the bill collectors are still going to want their money. So, right now I'm working. Hopefully I can work from home and keep my paycheck going. But if I can't, and I'm sure there's a lot of other people in Ohio and other states that are going, what am I going to do next? I mean, this is an unprecedented event that mm-hmm. we're dealing with. And quite frankly, we got caught with our pants down because we as a nation always felt like, since we're a first world nation, nothing like this will ever happen to us. Well, guess what? It did.
It happened to everybody.
And it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
But, what does the average person do? I mean, you hear about all these people getting the tests done. You got these rich people going out and getting their tests done right away, where people like you and me, we can't get an actual COVID test done unless we've got bad symptoms.
Yeah, unless we show signs of it.
Right. I mean, but if you're rich, hey, piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't protect, just because you're rich doesn't mean, okay, you tested negative for COVID right now. But what happens when you run across somebody that's got it a week from now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I said, you can get it. Yeah, you can test positive or negative for it today, and you don't have it. And then 2 weeks from now, you got it from something else. You know?
Right. So it's just been, it's everything everybody's talking about. It's the only thing everybody's talking about
mm-hmm.
is the coronavirus or the COVID-19, whatever you want to call it. So how does that affect the wrestling and horror world? It affects it in a big way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Repercussions all over the place. We've got, Donnie, what are your thoughts on pro wrestling shows being canceled until at least April 30th?
Well, obviously, we both know, and if whoever listened to our last podcast knows, that it affected us greatly. And we were kind of, unfortunately, the pioneers of this whole cancellation of wrestling events and stuff when they canceled the Arnold. And from what I know, and here in the U.S., the Arnold was like the first major sporting event that was canceled because of this pandemic going around. And we were a part of it, and it affected us. But yeah, like the Ohio Athletic Commission have canceled all wrestling events until April 30th. And that's at the earliest. I know they go back to the meeting room or on May 12th, I believe, and to reconvene and see where we're at. So if you are a promoter, even though they say it's canceled until April 30th, I would caution on running anything in May until after their May 12th meeting, just to be safe. I know a lot of my promoter buddies out there have already postponed their May events just in case. But it's like I said, all around Ohio, if you're a licensed promoter and you're not allowed to run wrestling events till after April 30th, and that's a maybe. They may go into the meeting room May 12th and say, we're going to wait till June 1st. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? Just like with the Arnold, this is going to be a day-by-day thing. That's why Governor DeWine is on there every day at 2 o'clock giving updates and all that stuff. Because it's just like the whole world, it's affecting the wrestling industry as well.
It is affecting a huge amount of industries. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the ones that's being hit the hardest is the entertainment industry.
Yep.
Because you can't gather in large groups anymore.
Yep. And that's a big part of entertainment and sporting events as well. Anything like that. is, you know, you got, that's how they make money, is by how many people they can gather around in one place, you know?
Right. So with that being said, I mean, obviously you're not just yourself, but other promoters, you guys are losing money over this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have two different ways of looking at this when it comes to promoters. I mean, yes, promoters are definitely losing income and money by not being able to run events. And some are even losing money, like the ones that had events booked this month and next month even, that have already invested money. You know, they're out that money, just like with us was the case, as we lost a decent chunk of money preparing for the Arnold and getting everything set up for the Arnold. And, you know, there's no way to recoup that. But on the, you know, so promoters are losing money by not being able to run events, not being able to sell tickets and sell concessions and sell merch and all that. So they are losing income. But as for losing money, I have two different ways of thinking about that. One way is, you know, just like I just mentioned, you know, the ones that's already spent the money doing their advertising, promoting all this and that, they are losing out on that. But I don't really see promoters losing money for events like in April or March if they haven't already invested the money, because they're not really, you know, spending the money now to run the event. But on the other hand, I do see promoters losing quite a bit of money if they in fact have like their own facility, you know, if they have their own training center, if they have their own school, or if they have their own building that's their own personal arena that they have to pay a mortgage on or utilities on or taxes, you know, real estate taxes on or anything like that, you know, then I can see the promotions standing to lose a lot of money and being in some kind of trouble for it, to where it could affect their promotion long term. Fortunately and unfortunately, however you want to look at it, for us, we don't have our own facility. So we lost a decent chunk of money getting ready for the Arnold, but other than that, we're not really going to be losing anything. On the other side, we're not going to be able to earn anything either by running events. But we're not really going to be losing money from here on out until we're allowed to run again. And then that's when we're able to start investing back into running events. So we're kind of basically our company in that aspect is just kind of at a standstill. So we're not in a position where us not being able to run is going to cause us to have to shut the promotion down. We're just kind of in limbo and just in a waiting game. But again, like I said, I know there's other promotions that are different. You know, they have the mortgages and the leases and the rent payments and all that and utilities that are really going to be hurting here in the next month or two by having to cover those expenses with no way of earning money to pay for that.
Well, I agree with you on everything you've mentioned. And, you know, just like was a week ago, my daughter Shelby made her pro debut in a battle royal. It was a private show, but it was still a professional show. Uh-huh. And she made her debut in a battle royal, and I couldn't have been prouder of her. I didn't get to see it live, but I did get to watch the video. And then the next day, the hammer fell, and everything was shut down. I mean, she's a month from graduating from Cody Hawk's wrestling school.
Uh-huh.
And now everything's put on hiatus until at least April 30th.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, and, you know, it's got her. I mean, I noticed the wrestlers, you'll have to forgive me, I do not remember his name, but he's putting on an online class.
Mm-hmm. Sun Bodhi.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. Thank you. And Shelby is actually doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I signed up for it myself.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm always out to learn stuff. So even though I'm not in ring active anymore, I still you can never learn enough. So yeah, sure. I joined that as well, and I'm watching the videos and lives and all that.
And you know, that's the nice thing is people are trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously it can't be in person, so it has to be virtual.
Yeah.
But there's a great number of people stepping up in the virtual world to keep people learning, to keep them entertained, things to keep them from going completely stir crazy during this weird time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with more and more states being locked down, you know, these people have to do something. So,
oh yeah. Yeah. And being that we brought that up, I want to give them a plug and stuff, 'cause I think it's a great, great thing that they're doing. It's a Snake Pit Pro is what it is. And I think Cody's in, he's a trainer for it now as well.
Sure.
But it's basically like an online virtual training class for wrestlers, managers, referees, whoever. And yeah, it's basically a Q&A. They do like live Q&As, Facebook Lives. They do posts, helping out, answer questions. And it's really a cool thing. So it's actually a way to it's a great idea that I as well. But it's just a way for the guys to and the gals to, you know, keep sharp, you know, to learn stuff. And just like I made a comment on Shelby's Facebook post the other day about a stuff. And I told her, I was like, you know, now that, you know, you got this time off, study, start studying, watch wrestling videos, you know, use this time wisely. And I, so I think it's a great thing. So if there's anybody out there that's interested in it, it's called Snake Pit Pro. And then Sin Bodhi's putting it on, and he's got some other trainers helping him out. And get on Facebook and sign up for that thing, man. I think it's a pretty cool idea.
Yep, I agree. So, you know, Donnie B, since you're the wrestling side of Wrestle Horror,
mm-hmm.
You know, how does this whole coronavirus thing affect wrestlers losing money and work? I mean...
for some of them, it's been devastating, really bad. I mean, some wrestlers, you know, they do wrestling part-time or hobby, and they have their day jobs or their full-time job to where they're supporting their families and supporting their themselves and all that. So wrestling isn't a huge impact on their finances. But a lot of independent wrestlers, that's what they do, you know. Independent wrestling is what they do to make money. So, you know, all the one, and they don't have full-time jobs. Some of them may work part-time. Some of them may still sell something on eBay or Amazon or on, you know, whatever platform they use to sell on, Craigslist, whatever. But the majority of their income comes from, you know, wrestling, getting bookings, and selling their merchandise. And it's kind of sad to me. Like, I see a lot of the wrestlers, you know, on Facebook now, and they're pushing their merch, or person's pushing their merch. And they talk about how, you know, some of them talk about how they're struggling, and it really bugs me, you know, bothers me that they're having to do that, because I think of them. And then also, you know, like we mentioned earlier, the waiters and waiters at restaurants, you know, the bartenders and stuff and staff at the bars, you know, what are these people doing to make extra money? You know, they're screwed pretty much. And same with a lot of these independent wrestlers that don't have full-time jobs. I mean, you know, and a piece of advice would be to go out and try to get one. You know, I know like all the supermarkets, the Kroger's and the Meijer's and all those guys are hiring now to help get things stocked back up. And so, I mean, if you're hurting for money, you know, you got to bite the bullet and go get a job or something until you can get back to full, you know, full calendar of wrestling. But, I mean, it's impacting the wrestlers big time. I mean, a lot of them are really hurting. A lot of them are struggling. I know there's some nerves and nervousness, and I would be scared. I mean, I would just flat out be scared if it was me, you know. So, yeah, it's affecting, like I said, it's not just people that you hear on the news. Nobody really, you know, when they say, what about the people who works in bars or restaurants, nobody ever thinks, unless you're in the industry, is like, well, what about the independent professional wrestlers? You know, what about the independent referees? You know, that's just something, a topic that doesn't get thought of in a natural conversation. But yeah, it's affecting. I see like all my stuff on social media and people which reached out to me. It's affecting a lot of people in the industry, and it's really unfortunate. And another thing they're talking about, like, doing help, and government's coming out with help, and even having things for loans or whatever for small businesses. Well, I'm pretty sure like a professional wrestler wouldn't qualify for those kind of loans or that kind of help. You know what right. I mean? So they're kind of, you know, they're kind of in between a rock and a hard place, unfortunately. And it's sad to see, but yeah, I mean, it's affecting the wrestlers and other people in the business in a big way.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that. So, you know, if you are a fan of you know, independent wrestlers out there, the best thing you can do, if you can afford it, I mean, the things are going to be tight for some people for some time to come, but, you know, help out some of these wrestlers, buy their merch. If you're a fan and you've got the money to buy some merch, buy some merch. You know, these people have families and bills that they've got to pay too, which is being completely held up by not being able to work. So, you know, just check Twitter. I mean, I've seen a lot of wrestlers on Twitter that are doing specials on their merch just to get it moving. And it'd be a good time for you to pick up some merch from your favorite wrestler at a discounted price. And not only are you getting something you want, but you're also helping that wrestler out.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, and I hate to see, you know, even the part-timers, the ones that have full-time jobs, you know, they rely on that extra money for various things in their life. And losing that income, just it hurts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are some wrestlers that basically use the money they make from wrestling to pay a bill or to pay a car payment or something like that. You know, that's how they pay for their car, is by what they earn on the weekends wrestling, you know. So, I mean, that's, you know, income. Now they don't have a car payment if that's the case. You know what I mean?
Right, right. So what else? I mean, we pretty much covered this, Donnie, but what else do you think wrestlers and promotions can do to recoup some of their income?
And yeah, like I said, if to recoup lost income, I don't know if there is a lot that can be done, but to replace the income, I guess would be a better word. You know, like one of the things I said, you know, sell your merch, push your merch. I mean, you know, some may think of it as being a shameless, you know, act to try to make money, but I mean, that's a way, you know, that's what the merch is for.
Right.
And you know, that, you know, and then again, get a part-time job, or, you know, maybe consider getting a full-time job to replace that income. I mean, there's other ways, you know, the other things you can do, you can, you know, do, there's retail arbitrage, which is basically buying stuff on sale at a discounted price. It's like going to Walmart's or Myers and going to the clearance aisles and buying stuff cheap. And then you turn around and resell it on eBay and Amazon. It's called retail arbitrage. I mean, there's multiple ways of earning income. You know, maybe start looking into some online stuff. But yeah, I mean, something, you know, unfortunately a professional wrestler can't claim unemployment, you know what I mean? Cause we're subcontractors in essence.
Right.
But, yeah, they got to put their thinking hats on and, you know, just like even with like promoters, you know, they're gonna have to, you know, think of way if they have that lease payment or they got that mortgage or that utility bill to pay for their building, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, they got to start coming up with some creative ideas to pay those bills, you know, same as the wrestlers. Right. So, I mean, there's multiple ways. I mean, like I said, make money online would be, you know, if you didn't want to go out and get a full-time job or whatever, looking on making money online, just Google it. There's, you know, hundreds of different ways you can make an income online. But yeah, like I said, it you have to think outside the box, you know, maybe like a photo shoot, you know, or maybe try to get booked on, you know, some kind of an appearance or something. You know, at this point in time and the pandemic that's going on, we have to start getting creative and thinking outside the box on what we're doing and come up with something different.
I agree. That's, you know, we've talked a lot about the wrestling side of things.
Yeah. I mean, if I could, I mean, like I said, I want to get a couple things off my chest. And this has like been weighing down heavy on me because it affects me and my family as well.
Sure.
And I've even talked with Terry about it. And, you know, one thing, like there was a conversation I was having with a couple of the other promoters. And something that I've always tried to do that I don't really talk about a lot is I always try to prepare for a plan B. I always try to have a plan B. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, me and Terry both have full-time jobs, you know, and we make decent money. But you never know. Like right now, you know, luckily, I mean, we're both blessed to where we're still getting our paychecks. But what if we weren't? We'd be screwed. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you always got to have, you know, have a plan B. You know, that's New Ohio Wrestling is our plan B. You know, the Wrestle Whore podcast is our plan B. I sell our New Ohio Wrestling merch on Amazon. If you go to Amazon, type in New Ohio Wrestling, we'll have stuff show up. You know, that's a plan B, like multiple streams of income. We're looking at the maybe possibly getting into real estate on a part-time basis, you know, as a plan B. We used to own, you know, co-own the Trail Tremenda Terror, you know, our haunted trail in Grove City. That was our plan B, you know, that was, and then, like I said, all of them aren't going to last, you know, the trail is now closed and it didn't work out, but, you know, plan B is very important. I'm noticing by what I see online, there's a lot of people in the wrestling industry that doesn't have a plan B. Yeah. It's a lot of, you know, what do we do now? We're screwed. You know, this sucks. And yes, it does suck. It sucks big time for everybody. But I mean, you gotta consider a plan B. You know, start putting that thinking hat on. Gotta be prepared, especially if you have a family, if you got a wife, if you got kids, or if you got a husband. You know, well, you know, this isn't the what ifs now. This is what's happening now. It ain't what if we was to lose our job, or what if a pandemic was to happen and we lost our income. It's happening now.
Right.
So, gotta start thinking of that plan B and be prepared. And, you know, it's like I said, it's going to take a while to build up to where they're making income. But that's why you got to plan ahead and start on them as soon as you can. And, like I said, we're the type that we're not putting all of our eggs in one basket. We got a bunch of different hooks in the water to make, you know, multiple streams of income. That's what we're trying to work. And there's other things we have on the books that we're planning that we haven't even done yet. And so we're always throwing our hooks in the water for these plan B to be prepared. So I really think that, you know, people, not even in the wrestling industry, but just in any industry, need to think that. I mean, a plan B for the conventional person is work your job and then, you know, invest in your retirement, right. You know, your 401k and IRA, whatever. That could be, you know, that's their plan B for the normal person. But a pro wrestler and a person in wrestling isn't a normal person. That's just something to think about. And because it's affected us all bad. And so there needs to be plan B's in place. And like I said, that's what, you know, Terry and I are doing. And I would advise anybody else to do the same thing. Don't just put your eggs in one basket and think it's all going to work out, because sometimes it may not. But it's like, that's been pretty much been weighing heavy on me and Terry this past week. And we're discussing things, you know, about things we currently have and what other, you know, what other hooks we can throw in that water that'll work out. And, so, I mean, we're trying to be proactive, and especially now that I'm temporarily home and on call, yeah, just they'll call me in as I'm needed. And, that now that I got this free time, instead of just being cooped up in the house watching horror films, which I would love to do, you know, all day long, or sitting around playing video games all day long, or bitching on Facebook about, you know, everything, you know, all day long, you know, whatever I would decide to do, instead of doing that, working on my plan B stuff. You know, I'm putting a few hours a day in the New Ohio Wrestling, a few hours a day into the Wrestle Whore podcast, a few hours a day into this other stuff we're considering doing. And it's just, you know, helpful advice. I mean, take it for what it is, but that's just kind of the stuff that's been weighing on me and Terry and has been on our mind the past week. And I just kind of wanted to throw that out there and kind of get it off my chest. And hopefully somebody takes the advice and runs with it and it helps them out. You know, that'd be great.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot been going on through my mind for the past week,
mm-hmm.
Especially after having been sick the week previous. I'm surprised they even let me come back.
Right.
But it just hadn't taken hold by the time I got the doctor's note. And then, and of course, things changed rapidly. So, you know, for me, you know, everything's so fluid. We don't know what to expect from day to day to day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what do we do? We have to make the best of a bad situation. And I know that sounds cliche, but if we don't know what's going on, how can we do any better than what we can do with the present information?
Right. Yeah, the more informed we are, the better decisions we can make. And I mean, honestly, I know people have different opinions, and I too do not like getting political. But I think that Governor DeWine and all the staff and the doctors have actually been pretty good about keeping us up to date on new developments. And even like the whole country saying that Ohio is leading the charge and fighting this pandemic, which I think that just, you know, shows that, you know, that they're doing a good job, as good as they can, kind of like with us, last week, 2 weeks ago, when everybody was wanting to know all the information, what was going on with the Arnold, we were just like, you know, you'll know when we know, and when we find out what we can do, we'll let you know. I mean, it's kind of, so I kind of can relate, but I mean, theirs is on a more epic level than ours, of course, but I can kind of relate on what they're doing, on how they're delivering us information daily and giving us what they can at the time they give it to us.
Yep. So, you got any questions for me on the haunt side of things?
Yeah. I was wanting to switch gears now, and because it kind of covers what are our thoughts on the wrestling stuff and what's going on. But I mean, you know, like we always say, haunt and wrestling is kind of the same. And one of the stuff that's affected both of us is the haunt conventions have also been canceled.
Yes.
There's been quite a few that's been canceled. And so, like I said, the haunt side is your bread and butter is more than me. So what's the status on some of them and the ones that's been canceled? And do you have any info on that kind of stuff for us?
Well, the big one, which is the one where a lot of vendors make their money in one shot, is the Trans World in St. Louis. It is just the Mac Daddy, and it's a trade show. It's not necessarily a convention.
Right.
But, I mean, a lot of vendors make their entire year writing orders at this show.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions on that, because I've heard that too. Like I said, I've never been to a Trans World. I've been dying to go to one. But I hear like a lot of the companies, that's their yearly income is Trans World and the orders they get from it.
It is. I mean, you know, the bigger haunts are spending tens of thousands of dollars on props and animatronics and such. And this is unprecedented. Trans World's been running for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And this one didn't happen. However, what they have done is they did a virtual haunt show through Facebook.
Okay.
And vendors are throwing out discounts and stuff like they would at a regular show. The big difference is you don't have the touchy-feely. You're just seeing video representation.
Right.
But Trans World has been trying, you know, really hard to to make things happen for people, because it's bread and butter for Trans World too. I mean, it's huge show in St. Louis. I mean, it is enormous. I mean, Donnie, if you ever get a chance to go, it's going to blow your mind away how big it is and how much they've got. And
oh yeah, that's what I've heard. I'm like dying to go see one.
the vendors go all out for this show. I mean, big displays, over the top displays, all the big guys, like Distortions Unlimited is a big one. And they've always got some fabulous stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there's one room that's called the Dark Zone, where you can see a bunch of different vendors and their props and animatronics in action in darker lighting.
Oh, nice.
And it's just, you know, the team at Trans World has really been, you know, aware of what's going on. And, you know, they made that hard decision because it was supposed to happen this past weekend up through tonight, I think. So it's a big disappointment to a lot of people that it couldn't be done, but they're doing their best to make it better so that people can still go out and buy things. Now, with that being said, a lot of haunt season is going to hinge on how this whole curve of the coronavirus goes.
Right.
So, you know, okay, Transworld postponed. I understand OHHC was canceled. Which I saw coming, and but we are hoping it wouldn't.
Right. Yep.
As far as I know right now, Transworld's Midwest Haunters Convention is still going.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to ask if Midwest Haunters was still on.
It's right now. It's still on. Again, it's a fluid situation. And as far as, I mean, that's all I know about MHC right now, is it's still going on.
Yeah.
Time will tell, virus will tell if it actually happens.
Right. Now, how long ago did Transworld get canceled? Was it like the Arnold, to where like the vendors had already shipped stuff to the area and all that? So, and then now they got to turn around and ship it back. And so they're getting kicked in the ass with like freight and shipping costs and lost income and all that too, on top of it. And yep. So a lot of people probably don't think of that either.
Right. Yeah. It's a big fiasco.
Right.
I mean,
yeah. And I know there, they ship a lot of their stuff, like a lot of their product. Yeah. The goal from what I understand it to go there is they ship a lot of stuff they want to get rid of in hopes of coming back with none of it, having sold it all. So the stuff that they make, cause I know companies, like you said, like Distortions and all them guys, they'll make stuff year round just to take it to Transworld.
Right.
Now, the stuff they don't sell online, like a lot of the stuff, I mean, a lot of the stuff isn't like a perishable item. You know, like right. They make masks, or if they make props and stuff, those will last. But will it like affect their sales and say, you know, if the mask was made this year, but next year it's not like the in style thing, you know, it's not the 2021 version? Or do you think all that stuff they'll still be able to get rid of it, like at next year's convention?
There's going to be some stuff that will make it till next year. There's going to be other things that are going to be passe next year. It's really hit and miss.
Mm-hmm.
The haunt industry can be fickle.
Right.
So for what they've got this year, they're really going to push discounts because everybody's down. I mean,
oh yeah,
the economy's being severely disrupted by this coronavirus.
Yep.
So, I mean, they don't want to be vendors don't want to be completely out of money, but they're willing, you know, they're going to be willing to take discounts to move product to keep them afloat.
All right.
Is the way I see it. And it all depends on the size of the vendor and what they offer. I mean, unfortunately, some of the smaller vendors this is going to be a fatal blow.
Right. Yeah.
But larger vendors, not so much. They'll be able to weather the storm. But I personally know a couple of small vendors that, you know, at this point in time, I don't know if they're going to be in business next year.
Yeah. And that's unfortunate too. And I mean, so it's safe to say, like this, with Transworld being canceled and all that, it has pretty much put a big dent in the haunt industry as a whole, like income wise.
Right.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with MHC.
Mm-hmm.
My take on this is, if MHC still goes on as planned, I think they're going to blow it out of the water and make it even grander than normal, just to make up for Transworld.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd think they'd almost have to.
But you're still looking at a time constraint, because at Transworld, you go in there, you order something from a vendor, and you've got April, May, June, July, August to get this material done.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Midwest and do that, and you've got half of June, July, and August.
Right.
You're cutting out a lot of time.
Yeah. And that stuff can't just be made overnight. There's it, you know, it ain't like on Face Off where they do it in 3 days.
Right. Oh gosh, no. Yeah. And the bigger the prop, the longer it takes. I mean,
yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, these stuff, a lot of this stuff's made to order. It's not just lying around the shop. I mean, they're not going to build a $10,000 animatronic and let it sit in their shop for 3 years.
Yeah, have 20 of them. Yeah.
Right. It's going to be built to order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll see what happens with MHC. I'm hoping for the best.
Yeah. And what about the Ohio Halloween and Haunters Convention? Have you talked to Jason or any of them and got any? I know the Reformatory has basically canceled all events through May and stuff. But have you talked to them about a possible rescheduling, or they're just going to do it next year? Or
I haven't spoken to Jason yet. It's been crazy. Mm-hmm. Ever since I found out.
Right.
But I'm going to try to reach out to him and find out, because, you know, it could go either way. But the problem is, let's just say July.
Yeah.
It's still not a good time for vendors because they're trying to make product.
Yeah.
There's that narrow window. I mean, you know, you got HauntCon at the beginning of January, and I think that's the only convention that hasn't been decimated by the COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You got HauntCon in January, and then you got Transworld, you've got OHHC, you've got West Coast Haunters Convention, and you've got MHC. And you're talking about, you know, April and May, MHC is in June. I mean, that's the pretty much the limit.
Right. That's the last one usually of the year.
Right. Well, there's smaller ones that are out there, but
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That, I mean, June's got to be the absolute limit. And even then, vendors have to take reduced orders because they can't fill everything
mm-hmm.
in that short a period of time. I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how the whole haunt season is going to play out this year.
Right. Yeah.
And sometimes it makes me, and I don't know how to say this without people misconstruing it, but I'm kind of glad I retired when I did.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't have to deal with the uncertainty of haunt season this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I had enough trouble dealing with the uncertainty of actors for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of glad that I retired from that part of it.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I still want to keep my finger on the pulse of what's going on, because I'm still part of this business.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's kind of like me. Like I said, I'm kind of the newbie of the duo here. And, you know, I was out last year because our trail shut down, and plus I had my shoulder injury and my shoulder surgery.
Right.
So I just took the whole season off. But I've actually started helping out a little bit with Carnage, and started helping them build their, I guess, start working on getting the walls built and all that. And so I'm kind of like getting back into it that way. Yeah. So I'm probably going to do something this year if it does, but it also makes me think with them, because they just got a new building and it's twice the size, maybe even three times the size of what they had.
Right.
And they basically gutted it clean and start from scratch. So, you know, with this band where you're not allowed to be together, and, you know, like I said, I don't even know if they'll be able to get done in time with one of their haunts to be able to open this year.
Right.
And that, which kind of leads me to my next question, is about, like with this pandemic, I mean, how do you think this will hurt this year's haunt season? I know you just touched on it a little bit, but, you know, like if haunters had their scenes, you know, like if haunt owners had some of their haunt tore down with the plans of going to Transworld and ordering this big prop and building the scene around this big prop, they can't get it. And so, I mean, I'm sure they could put something together, you know, and rebuild that scene or whatever. But for, you know, all the haunts that need, you know, half the year to change their haunts around and get things ready and rerun all their electrical and lighting and sound and all that. How do you think this will hurt? If it only lasts a few weeks, I don't see where it could put that big of a hurt on it. But if it goes into May, June, July, how do you think that'll affect these other haunts around the country and stuff?
Well, my take on that is it all depends on how long we're like this. The longer it goes, the worse it's going to be for the haunt industry. Now, on the flip side of the coin, if it goes longer than we expect, but not long enough to stop haunt season, you may see not as many changes to various haunts as normal. And again, that also depends on the location of the haunt and whether they're in an established building or they have to build and tear down. Like some haunts have to do.
Yeah.
That's going to make a difference. I think the established haunts that have their own buildings are going to fare the best.
Right.
But what you're going to be able to change is going to be limited. I mean, right now we're getting towards the end of March. And Ohio is locked down at least through April 6th.
All right.
But I personally think it's going to go longer than that. I hate to be a doomsayer, but
right. Yeah. I'm kind of leaning that way.
The longer it goes, the worse it's going to be. Now granted, this downtime gives haunters themselves times to work on costumes, do characters. Mm-hmm. Positives that can be done during the downtime.
All right.
But just like pro wrestlers, a lot of haunters, not necessarily full time, but they rely on this extra money for things like Christmas for the kids, for the family. Mm-hmm. And there's that big uncertainty because I know that haunts are going to close this year because of this.
Mm-hmm. They just won't have the time to get ready and all that, or
right. And unfortunately, it's going to be the smaller ones that live season to season that are going to suffer the most.
Yeah.
All I can say is I hope for the best for the whole situation. I hope that we get over this pandemic as soon, if not sooner, than China did.
All right.
Because they went like 3 months, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's too much gray area right now with the situation being fluid. I mean, if we knew here was a start time and here was an end time, it'd be easier to gauge, but unfortunately, it's still going to get worse before it gets better.
Right. So. Yeah. And like with the wrestlers and the promoters and stuff like that, I know there's sort of a difference because wrestling is year round and haunting is just the main income is just made in the 2 months or whatever the window. But what can haunters and haunt owners do to recoup some of this income that they may be losing or whatever in this season?
Well, you know, they can take a page out of pro wrestling's book and get out there and make videos and posts about their haunt on Facebook, on YouTube. You know, I'm not sure about how much of a moneymaker it would be, but maybe they can, if they've recorded walkthroughs in the past, maybe 2-3 years back when half the haunt was different, you know, there might be people out there that are interested in watching that, you know, for a couple of bucks or something. I'm speculating here. I mean, haunters are notoriously cheap. But, you know, they can promote their merch as well. now's the time that they can use social media for virtual things and embrace it, because you're going to have to do something without physically being in front of somebody, because you don't want anybody coughing on you.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting topic that you just brought up. Wrestling, you know, you do the live shows, but a majority of wrestling is watched on TV or on YouTube or right. Fight TV or video. Do you think there would be a market for something like that, like a virtual haunt walkthrough, kind of like you're watching like a scary movie, but it's an actual haunted house? I mean, you won't be there physically. So, I mean, I'm sure some of the creepiness factor won't be there. But do you think that would be something like a possibility for a market, like a virtual haunt walkthrough? And of course, like you said, at a discounted price or a different price, but you know, somebody still might want, like a fan of haunted houses, may pay, you know, $5 to, you know, sit in front of their computer or on their TV or something and watch a camera or 3D or 360 degree view like they got nowadays. And, you know, just something like that. You know, when you brought that up, it kind of like stuck in my head. You know, I don't know if there'd be a market for that or not, but it's something to ponder on, I would think.
I think that if this goes long enough to where we can't really have a haunt season, I think that's a very viable alternative. Mm-hmm. Now, they're not going to make the numbers that they make during a season, but they're going to make something.
Yeah. Something's better than nothing, right? Yeah.
And, you know, you can get out there with the right camera, which really aren't that expensive anymore. Mm-hmm. And especially, you know, the thing is, they can use old recordings and people weren't going to notice anything.
Right.
Or they can record, if they're fortunate enough to make the changes that can't be seen this season. Yeah, I mean, I can see that happening. The bigger haunts, definitely. Some of the smaller haunts might be able to pull something off, may not be quite as clean production-wise.
Right. Yeah, I'd imagine they'd have to change up some lighting and stuff like that, I would think.
Yeah, lighting would have to be altered to work. But it's a viable alternative for a few extra bucks, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And when I say a few extra bucks, I'm not talking about just, you know, here's a few extra bucks in your pocket. It's to help offset the lack of income from not opening or opening late or whatnot.
Right. Yeah, and another thing to look at it is if, even like for us haunters, you know, and just say if there's a haunt in Arizona that I know that I'm probably never going to be able to visit, but I hear great things about it.
Right.
You know, I would throw $5 at them just so I can say, hey, at least I'll be able to see it this way, you know, so I can see what their haunt looks like and get the gist of it.
Right.
You know, something like that, because I know there's a few haunts that I'm never going to be able to see. That's just the way it is, you know, so. I mean, so like I said, that might be something that we could see in the future, I would think, as coming down the road, like you said. And even if it's not the pandemic, just for that reason alone, like I said, you know, like I want to see this haunt in Alaska or, you know, who knows, wherever.
Right.
You know, New Hampshire's got a haunt that's just amazing. And I know I'm never going to New Hampshire, so I'll throw them $5 so I can watch the virtual walkthrough of it or something.
Well, you know, If you do something like that in virtual reality, where you've got 360 vision, that would really, I think, amp the game up, because things can come up behind you.
Oh yeah,
and things like that. So
yeah, and you got the big goggles on, so it makes it look like you're there.
Exactly.
So that might be something that they want to start considering, in my opinion. We just created a new market for the industry. Look at that.
There you go. Virtual haunted house.
There you go.
Thank you. That's a copyright Jim and Donnie Productions.
Just 1%. That's all we want. That's all. Oh, man. See, it does good to sit here and chat, start brainstorming stuff.
Yeah.
There's, like I said, there's always a way. There's always a plan B. You just got to start looking for it.
That's right. So, time's winding down a little bit. What's your take on the next couple of months, Donnie? What do you think is going to be going on?
I mean, haunt wise, you know, like I said, I'm with you. It's just going to depend on how long this takes. The bigger haunts, I don't see them having much of an issue because like I said, all they do, most bigger haunts, they say the rule is what, like 30%, change 30% of your haunt or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that could be done in a matter of a couple months with the right crew. But for all the smaller haunts and even like the newer haunts that are, you know, like we just like with Carnage, you know, like I use for an example, you know, they're not a new haunt. This will be their third year. But they're basically starting from scratch because they leave in the building they're leasing and buying a building that's three times the size. So they're starting from scratch and they got a lot of work ahead of them. So, you know, like I said, I'm kind of getting committed to, I want to see them at least be able to open with something this season. So I'm going to, you know, offer up my time and help them out and see what I can do to, you know, help try to get them ready as much as I can. So if there's anybody in our area, you know, that works with Carnage or whatever, you know, this is going to be a time to step up and volunteer and not just show up on opening night with your costume in your hand. You know what I mean? You know, to step up through the summer and spring and help them out, try to get it ready and the other haunts as well around the Midwest and all over the country, you know, not just Midwest.
Right.
So, I mean, just like all this happening even has me thinking of like the Wrestle Horror, the podcast and stuff. And do we want to just keep it a podcast? Like I said, me and Terry's been discussing ideas. We're not really ready to discuss anything right now and reveal anything. But, we need to, we're discussing taking Wrestle Horror a little more seriously and adding new revenue streams and avenues to it, not just make it just a podcast only.
Okay.
So there's other things, you know, which the good thing about podcasts is it's all online. We can do it from the house. We can sit in the car and do it, you know, so it's not like a big, this pandemic isn't really hurting podcasting as much. But it still makes me think, you know, do we need, we need a plan B for Wrestle Horror, you know, just like we need a plan B with our day jobs. We need a plan B with our new Ohio wrestling, which we're talking about as well. You know, now we need we're thinking what plan B can we have for Wrestle Horror? So this COVID-19 is going to change a lot of things for a lot of people. And I think that's including us as well. You know, like I said, I got the Wrestle Horror concept, you know, in my mind again. Because I was kind of content on just Wrestle Horror podcast because it was going good and we have a blast at it and people seem to enjoy it. But now it's got me thinking a bigger picture and of expanding the Wrestle Horror concept. So like I said, a lot of discussions, a lot of brainstorming is going to be happening here in the future. You could see some changes, good changes, hopefully, for Wrestle Horror podcast as well as New Ohio Wrestling, you know.
Well, it's a strange world we live in right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
So anything's liable to happen and can happen.
Yep.
So we just got to make the best of it.
There you go. One day at a time. It's all we can do.
Right.
It's like my philosophy with New Ohio Wrestling, one step at a time. I'm not in any hurry. And same thing with this.
Right now, we just need to take our lives one day at a time because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yep, you got that right.
Especially with the state of things. I mean,
yep.
We said it at the beginning of the show, and I'll say it again. We have never experienced anything like this in our lifetimes.
Oh, no. And honestly, to be honest, I don't think this is going to be the last one either. Yeah. If it was that easy for that to get strung out like that and distributed out and I don't think this is going to be the last one that we see, which is, again, everybody needs to start considering plan B and getting themselves prepared.
Well, it's like I told the guys on, you know, we always doing a big scary show recording before we did this.
Mm-hmm.
I said the perfect solution to keep everybody safe is full-size body condoms.
Right. There you go. Yep. You can buy stocks in it. You might want to do that.
Right. That way nobody sneezes on anybody else. Nobody touches anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You got a thin layer of latex. protecting you from the rest of the world.
A quick funny story, just thought about it, just happened today. Me and Terry went to GFS because we were getting our last round of food just to make sure we had everything stocked up. So we're sitting there and we're in the freezer section, and this guy walks up and he has this big gigantic respirator on. I mean, the big cans, it looks like something you would see in a haunted house. It was like green, had the little buggy eyes, it had the big gigantic cans on both sides. And he was like walking around with this thing on his face. I was like, dang, I don't know. I was like, is he even able to breathe in that thing? So he's standing at this display, and it had like meat and sausages and all that. And just because I like to amuse myself, and sometimes I can be a little bit of an ass, I just told Terry, I was like, watch this. And I kind of walked up beside the guy. He didn't see me walk up beside him. And I just kind of like gave a little cough right beside him. And I was like, excuse me, sir. And man, he jumped over like 3-4 feet to the side. it scared you out to death, man. And I only did it because he had that big respirator on. And I just reached in and I like grabbed a pack of the sausage I wanted. But it was just something to amuse myself. And like I said, I shouldn't have done it because he might have real concerns. You know, I don't know his life. You know, he may have something actually going on. And it's just, I couldn't pass it up. I was just like, excuse me, sir, and gave a little cough into my arm. And man, he got out of my way real quick. Terry's just like, you're terrible. I was like, I know. I was like, sometimes I just got to amuse myself.
you got to do what you got to do, man. I think it's great.
I mean, he got out of the way so I could get what I needed, you know?
I said earlier I had a bad case of bronchitis last week, which I was cleared for. Mm-hmm. I was sitting in my office Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. And I coughed to clear out my throat because sometimes that happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I hear out of my supervisor is, are you covering your mouth? And it's like, no, I'm not 12.
Right. Like, I'm just spraying it all over the area.
Of course I'm coughing all over the place. I don't need a mother. I'm 55 years old. Go away.
Right.
I mean, she's just like losing her shit over this whole thing. And, I understand about being clean. I understand about wiping things up. I mean, I use hand sanitizer at work. I use soap and water at work. Mm-hmm. But, treat me like I'm 55. Don't treat me like a child, because I think I know how to cover my mouth for a cough,
Right, yeah. Yeah, people are testing you now these days.
It's nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't pass the opportunity up when I seen that guy. I tried to do like a triple take, like, what in the hell is on his face? And I was like, God, he's got one of them big apocalypse respirators on.
Probably bought it off of eBay.
Probably. Yeah, you could just tell. It was like, this dude's probably got an underground bunker somewhere. But, yeah. So, I mean, like I said, it's not a joking matter, obviously. But, yeah, sometimes you just got to have fun with it.
Tail end of my bronchitis.
Oh yeah, getting it all out of there.
Yep.
But not get me sick coughing into your microphone over the internet.
Make sure your antivirus program is working.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow. So, a lot going on in the wrestling and horror world. Mm-hmm. A lot of uncertainty. But one thing that can be certain is, if you can support your indie wrestlers, if you can support your haunted houses, do so. I mean, don't yep. put yourselves out, but.
And even the vendors, like wrestling vendors, haunt vendors, if you have a haunt prop company that you are privy to and you like their stuff, buy something off of them online. I'm sure they can use the money from all the, all the money they lost at Transworld,
Right.
So, yeah, just help them out any way you can.
Help them all out. I mean, if I could buy something from all of my friends that are vendors and such, I'd be broke.
Right.
But, I've bought you know, just recently I bought a couple of wrestlers' t-shirts, you know, and, you know, I might reach out to a haunt vendor and buy something. It doesn't have to be a big item, just
something.
Buy a little something from them. Keep them afloat.
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting me some different contacts. Now that I got my prescription redone, I'm thinking about getting me some new contacts for the haunt season.
Yeah, but there's something you can, you know, it doesn't have to be a whole lot, just a little something. You know, just ordering a $10 or $20 weapon from a vendor might keep them going. And just like ordering a t-shirt or an autograph from your favorite pro wrestler
might
keep them going. I mean, this is so uncertain that people aren't making money when they should be. So if you're still making money, think about it.
Yep, for sure.
Well, with that being said, this has just been a kind of a, I don't want to say depressing episode, but informative.
Yeah, real life punch in the face for all of us, pretty much.
And pretty much a serious thing, but, you know, Donnie and I are going to keep doing these shows. I mean, they're not always going to be doom and gloom, I promise you.
Right.
I mean, with this downtime, we got to, now's a good time to reach out to some people to get them on.
Yeah, and that's another thing I wanted to bring up. You know, people out there listening, reach out to us either, you know, through our social media or wrestlehorror@gmail.com. And, you know, throw your ideas at us. Do you want to hear more interviews with wrestling people and haunt people? Do you want to hear more of me and Jim just talking about different topics and our thoughts on them? Do you want us to, I mean, what, you know, we could do a numerous different things. What are you guys looking for? What, you know, what are you guys looking for? And let us know so we can deliver that for you. And,
yeah. Give us some good feedback. You know, we're open to this. And, you know, if what we're doing doesn't quite trip your trigger, then maybe something we can, there's something out there you can suggest that we do that helps make it more entertaining for you. I know Donnie and I are both open-minded about it, and you can, you know, you can email wrestlehorror@gmail.com, or you can email me meathookjim@gmail.com. You know, we'd love to hear from you, and this goes for fans, listeners, wrestlers. If you're a pro wrestler and you're listening, shoot us an email. We'll get you on the show.
Yep. Same for haunters and haunt owners, promoters, referees. All right, yeah. Anybody that's looking to, if they got something they want to say or something that's on their mind, let us know. We'll get to get you on there and get something done.
Even ring announcers.
There you go, ring announcers, yep. Everybody.
So, you know, give us a shout. Let us know you're listening. Let us know what we can do to improve the show for you. We're here to make the show for you. Without you guys, we don't have a show.
Absolutely.
So with that being said, Donnie, you know, always a pleasure to talk with you.
Yep, same here.
You know, we're only 2 hours away, but we don't see each other that often. And
yep.
You know, that's the beauty of the internet.
There you go.
Especially now when I can't drive 2 hours to go see Donnie.
Yep. It's like, hey, let's just jump on to Zoom real quick.
Right. You know, so stay in touch with friends, stay in touch with family. May not be able to see them physically, but look here, you know, I'm talking to my buddy in real time.
Yep.
And all of you.
Yep.
So.
Doesn't take much nowadays.
Even though we've got social distancing, that doesn't mean you have to be a hermit.
Right.
So with that being said, I am Meat Hook Jim, along with Donnie Hoover. This is the Wrestle Horror Podcast. Stay tuned for the latest in the next show.
See you guys. Be safe.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror. Instagram @WrestleHorror. Twitter @WrestleHorror. On our YouTube channel, The Wrestle Horror Channel. Also, you can find us at www.wrestlehorror.com.